no idea when dev starts on this.
Oh, me neither. Is it now?
It can't be now. There's no way. Wait, it's coming up. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Places. Places.
The history of film. That battle who even the lights go dim. James Cagney to Nosferatu and stunts that shock you. And all the dirty tricks studios made. From Wings to Top Gun, movie stars and no ones. We're manic crazy fans that leave no real untun. Hollywood is film history in Hollywood. They chase the Oscar, but it's all a sham, just like Shaq and Kazam. All your dreams can come true. Film history, the history of film. All of it made for you.
Clara Bow, either part five or we keep going.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
You know.
You know.
We don't right now.
You're in the future.
Yeah, that's the fun thing. It's like you guys already know the answers.
That's right. You're in the future. We're in the past.
It's like a M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah.
You know the twist ending already, but
we
don't.
You tell us the twist.
Yeah.
Let us know in our socials what wound up happening. So, Clarabo, last we left our hero, she signs with Paramount.
Hell yeah.
All that stuff that happened in part four that you can definitely go hear.
Four mil a week.
Four mil a year.
Four mil a year.
Well, it was an expanding contract, you know, and it would wind up in her fifth year. She would make $4 million.
Nice.
Nowadays money. It was 300 grand back in 19...
Good.
19 whatever, whenever her contract
Good
ended. 1931.
Her.
Yeah.
I'm happy for her.
Happy for her as
I wish
well.
Her all the best luck.
She deserves it. Mm-hmm. And so now we're entering into 1929. Mm-hmm. And you want to do a little... You want to do a little?
What?
We can do a little.
When are we?
1929.
Damn, that's the year before the other one.
That's right. That's the year before the other one. This is, we have covered 1929 quite a lot, so I will breeze through this. Oh, yeah, man. We've been in 1929 on multiple episodes this point. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, man, we've been all over the place.
Well, I don't remember anything, so what happened?
Well, the Wall Street crash happens.
Nice.
The stock market crash that occurred starts on October 28th.
I'm sure people were very happy about that.
Yeah. It started that old, the Great Depressing.
The
Great
yeah.
Depressing times.
Began
in 1929.
The sad times.
The great sad.
the great sad is what they call it.
Do you think if the pharmaceutical companies existed back then, they would have just prescribed everyone Prozac?
Oh, man. The Great Depression.
You know how we treat the Great Depression.
Prozac.
One would like to hope.
I mean, they were definitely self-medicating with Prozac-like chemicals. Mm-hmm. It was just 1920s
just
kicked up
versions. Mix up a couple random ones and put in a bottle for me. And
that's
I'll
right.
do the test.
Bathtub, gin, opium, and whatever scraps from food can
that'll cure the greatest of depression.
I'll do the testing.
If you don't wake up, you're not depressed anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that was kind of their MO. Yeah. Speaking of not waking up, this was also the year of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Smith & Wesson sold you a depression medication.
I prescribe you a six shooter, my friend, and there's one round in the chamber. I prescribe you Russian roulette. This was the year of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. I went to Vegas to the Mob Museum, and I saw the St. Valentine's Massacre wall that they all got killed in front of. It's pretty powerful. Pretty powerful stuff. Not as powerful when there's, like, you know, Nebraskan tourists standing in front of it taking pictures.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But
it doesn't seem like anything in Vegas is that powerful except losing your money.
Yeah. Vatican City gains its independence from Italy this year.
Good for them.
The Catholics are making big moves.
Is that good for them? Is that bad?
I mean, it was good for them, bad for us.
Bad for everyone.
Yeah, bad for the world.
Wait, why? So they could do more kid diddling?
Yes.
Is that why?
Okay, yeah, pretty much. Right, yeah. I mean, that's what it all boils down to.
They're like, we're a sovereign country.
Yeah.
You can't come and look at our rights.
Was that the point?
That is absolutely the point. The Vatican City did away with their morality clause. You know?
Wait, why were they allowed to do that?
Because they're the most powerful entity in the entire world, and they have more money than most governments.
Did they fight a war for this?
No.
This sounds like something you'd have to fight a war over.
Oh, no.
No, they were just like, hey, we own so much land in all your countries and your cities. How about we, you know, we'll tell all of our congregation to riot if you don't let us be our
Yeah, own, so. We'll do whatever the fuck we want. Every single one of you is Catholic, so we're going to do this thing. And they were all like, we agree.
Yeah, if you, you know. If you don't.
Yeah, could you imagine, like, God the Italian fucking whoever in charge or group of people, they were like, no, we're not going to allow the Catholic Church. Everybody in Italy would be up in arms. We're like, no, yeah. The Pope get to do whatever he wants.
Whatever he wants. He can deal with the kids. The shit. Yeah. He can deal with the kids.
It's in the name of God.
It's turning into a communist country. Can't even diddle the kids no more.
And while we're on to fun stuff like the Great Depression and kid diddling, this was also the influenza epidemic. Is beginning to rage on.
The first pandy.
Yep, the first pandy. Yeah. The flu is becoming a thing. 1929, baby. We got the Great Depression, Prohibition, and the flu.
Hell yeah.
So, great time to be alive.
Very not similar to what's happening now.
Yeah, exactly. Who knew? None of this would ever repeat itself, nope. You know. The first car radio is made by Motorola. 1929. Motorola.
Whoa.
Putting in car radios.
Wow. That way back then?
Way back then, man.
What were they listening to?
Jazz. Al Jolson. They were listening. Ah. They were listening to Al Jolson do blackface on their radio. They knew he was in blackface.
That's,
you know,
so funny.
It was just an audio medium that you just had to know he was being racist about it.
They prefaced ahead of time.
That's like, right.
Just so you know, all of these voice actors are currently in blackface. Don't worry, we're still being racist, even if you can't see it.
That's right. You can't see it, but he's in blackface.
Racism doesn't have to be perceived to be exist.
We're bringing you this Al Jolson broadcast, and just remember, he is in blackface for the whole performance. You know.
Unnecessarily so.
This was the first chainsaw was introduced.
Wow.
Andreas Steele.
What
baby.
Ingenuity.
You're right.
It was made by a guy named Steele?
Steele, man. It's STIHL. They're still the best chainsaws out on the market.
Really?
Yeah. A steel chainsaw still to this day.
Wow.
Steele to this day.
Wow.
Best chainsaws on the market, baby.
That's quality.
Yeah. This episode brought to you by Steele.
Brought to you by, I wish.
Quality you can trust.
When you're running around hacking up your helpless victims in terror, choose steel.
Choose
because
steel.
Right through bone like liquid butter.
That's right.
Nearly 100 years of the buzzy saw.
You could get a magic lantern at the time for about $4.
Is that what killed Houdini?
That was just a college kid with a fist and a lot of alcohol. The magic lantern, you went to the Academy Museum.
Once
they had a magic
twice.
Lantern on display.
Yeah.
A magic lantern was 12 glass slides and a kerosene lamp, a lamp chimney for the fucking smoke that would come out of it, mm-hmm. And you would display your picture on a white sheet on a wall, and it was the first projector of its kind.
Yeah.
You know, it was a kerosene lamp fucking projector.
Wait, what, we already have movies.
We already had movie shit.
This is like for your house.
This is for your house. It was
it's
a kerosene.
Fancy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was $4.
Whoa.
Which,
it's like somebody's car.
You run through the old.
That was a whole house.
Calculator.
Let me give me 1 second and I'll run through the old inflation calculator. It was
I'm gonna guess $400.
Okay, that's a good guess. That's a good guess. Let's see. That was the equivalent of $70.
Well, was this before the market crash or
yeah,
after
during,
the market crash?
During. That is one of the hard parts about this is inflation, you know.
I mean, it's still just a fucking lamp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was just a lamp.
There's no technology in there.
You would put your pictures up on the wall.
There's not a single circuit going on in here.
No.
It's powered by a candle.
Yeah.
Like, it's
circuit.
There's literally smoke coming out of it.
This was before the transistor was invented.
How are they doing the movie projectors?
There's literally smoke coming out of this fucking
thing.
Yeah,
how are they doing the movie projectors? There's electricity in that one, right?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, there's the light. And
yeah.
An
Edison bulb, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
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 that's
okay,
true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's
they
right.
project that light
yeah.
through
okay,
the
yeah.
film rail.
Yeah, this, and what we're talking about here is candle powered. You
yeah.
know what I mean? There's
yeah.
not a single electrode.
Candle powered
kerosene,
projector.
Actually.
There's not, one there's not one electrode in there. There's not one electron in
I
that
just
whole
love
thing.
The thought of a fucking exhaust pipe coming out of the top of this thing.
Yeah.
Fucking pumping out smoke into your house while you're like showing your
How
family
How many
photos.
Houses burned down because you were trying to show your vacation album?
Oh, damn kerosene projector fire burned down my house. But it was worth that $4.
This is us at the Coliseum. Do you see? Do you see?
The women's hat has now evolved into the Lido hat at $2.
These names suck.
The Lido hat, man. You had the...
What's the Lido hat?
The Lido hat was a... charming face looks its best under the chic silhouetted lines of this model. Mm-hmm. Suave lines copied from a high-priced import in a pleasingly soft, good-quality wool felt. Mm-hmm. Shaped in low helmet fashion. I was right about the helmet fashion. Shaped in low helmet fashion at sides, close cropped at back for utmost coat collar ease. Mm. So it was a fucking, again, the time period was fancy.
Fancy helmet hats.
Fancy helmet hats.
And you wonder why Claire LeBeau went after the football players.
She was already wearing the helmet.
It's subliminal messaging from corporate America back then.
And I don't imagine any of them wore a helmet with her, you know.
No.
if that was true... Allegedly.
She's dead. We don't have to say allegedly.
Yeah, you're right. Eddie Cantor, he's back on the top of the charts. Remember he had the last song in 1926 that we talked about?
No.
This song in 1929, he's back on the charts with Making Whoopee.
Oh.
Sex song, baby.
Wow.
Sex song. Making Whoopee.
I hate the word. It's like a gross word to me.
It's so bad. Yeah. I'd rather fucking.
Yeah.
Rather than whoopee, I would rather like macaroni sound making
yeah,
sex.
Yeah,
gross to me.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mac and Cheese Factory.
I would rather Mac and Cheese Factory than whoopee.
Yeah, it's so gross. I just don't know what it is. It sounds so old timey. I think it's the old timey of it.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Yeah. Maybe that was it.
I think the cushion also, the whoopee cushion also ruined that word too.
Yeah.
Because now I just think of farts.
Yeah, fart sex.
Yeah, farts.
It happens. And I do think it's always funny. You always got to laugh when a fart happens, but you don't want to call it whoopee, you know. If you don't laugh during a fart during sex, you need to get out of here. Don't listen to the show anymore, you know. So the movie of the year for 1929... Going back to old Al Jolson, he's just ruling the fucking charts these days. The Broadway Melody, the first talkie.
Yeah.
And that...
It's our second best picture winner.
Second best picture winner.
We did a show about that.
That's right. And so when that thing comes out, it is the talkie. It is the cutting edge of film technology. Everybody falls in line. It is not the first talkie. We've already talked about this. We've already talkied about this. But it is not the first talkie, but it was the biggest talkie, and it is what set off the genre. Mm-hmm. You know,
did anyone see the irony in the first moving image being of a black man, and then the first sound in a movie yeah. being of a white man playing a black man?
Fucking right, man.
Like,
that's crazy.
Yep. Old Muybridge.
You can't make this shit up.
You can't make this fucking shit up, man. And, you know, you remember, again, we talked about it on the episode that we talked about the Broadway Melody. People thought it was progressive. They were like, he's giving voices to the black people because they can't be on fucking screen.
Yeah.
So he's doing this to, like...
Yeah, his intentions were good. Yeah. I mean, there's a debate to be had about it. I'm not going to be the one to make that debate.
That was When Are We? I'm not going to do Last We Left Our Hero again. Just go listen. But the most important part about When Are We in 1929 is the talkies come to be. The Broadway Melody comes out. It is the newest big thing. Yeah, if you want to be bigger than sliced bread, you got to fucking start talking, you know? So.
Love it.
The talkies.
You want to be bigger than sliced bread, you got to start talking.
You got to start talking. You got to start talking. You got to start speaking. Mm-hmm. And so Clara, she is in the third year of her Paramount contract, the third out of her fifth year. And Paramount comes to her. They say the same thing. They say, look, we don't usually say this to women, but we want you to start talking, you know.
I know, I've said this before my whole life.
I know we keep telling you dames to shut up, but for this one time, we want you to speak.
The broads got to pipe up every once in a while.
Yeah, you broads got to pipe up. Who thought we would ever be saying that? Next, you're going to be voting and driving, you know. But first, we're going to let you talk. We're going to let you speak. So, they signed her on for a talkie.
Mm-hmm.
Clara, she's young, she's ready to go, she's a big movie star, and on paper, Yeah, fuck yeah, I want to do a talkie, you know, like, of course, like, that's the new big
it's
thing.
The new hot thing, yeah.
It would be like,
I talk all the time, every day. What's,
yeah, exactly. It would be the equivalent, I think, of one of these actors who's had a whole career, like Paul Rudd becoming mm-hmm. Ant-Man, mm-hmm. where it's like, you had this whole career, but joining Marvel is the whole thing. But
so
I mean,
like, you do motion capture for the first time.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, that sounds fun. I've never done that before.
Exactly. You're expanding your career.
It's the whole new way. Yeah.
It's a whole new way. It's the new cutting edge shit. Mm-hmm. Avatar.
Yeah.
Like, for, yeah.
Yeah.
Being
yeah.
an avatar, even though your whole career was never about this shit. But yeah, you're getting in on a trend, you know?
Who knows how long these talking things are even going to be around for? I mean, we're going to be going back to doing silent films in 2 years.
They said that. They said that rock and roll's going to die. You know, it was the same shit.
Nobody's
going
to drive these motorized horse and carriages.
That's right. They're
just going to go back to the classic way.
That Henry Ford.
It's putting us out of business to keep our horse stables around.
That old Henry Ford, he's going to join the Nazis eventually.
People enjoy the smell of horse shit on the road.
They sure like my horse shit. They sure like the horse shit that we spit out on this episode of Film History. But they signed her on for this talkie called The Wild Party. Again, man, these movies, they were just all about partying, baby. Living, L-I-V-I-N, you know. And the first time ever, Clara Bow is handed a script with dialogue on it. And this sort of is the impetus of, like, this is not just Clara Bow. Mm-hmm. This is every silent film actor mm-hmm. who has made a career, who has made a huge career, who has become a star. Mm-hmm. They are now being handed scripts, and they are now memorizing dialogue late into their career.
You have to do a job now. You can't just show up drunk and make a smiley face and then walk off and get more drunk.
Exactly.
Now I need you to remember words on paper.
And remember, we were talking about, this is the girl who, don't even tell her to smile four scenes in advance because mm-hmm. she's not going to remember that shit. You know, she is very, like, you tell her where to go, when she needs to go there, you tell her what to do. Directing, you know, like, and they are handing her a monologue, you know.
In the kink community, we would call it a sub.
A sub. She has not been a dom yet. She's going from sub to dom now, you know. But it's so fascinating to me. I mean, someone who has absolutely shown their worth, who it is a football player at the prime of their career, and all of a sudden you change all the fucking rules, you know. Mm. It is like, she is absolutely a movie star, but now can she do this new thing, you know? And that is what we're talking about today. That is, Clara Bow goes into the talkies, and she has to say actual words into a microphone, and this fucked her whole shit up. Not only fucked her acting style up, this fucked up her brain. This fucked up Clara Bow. Like, this was the end of Clara Bow and a lot of silent actors, the end of their fucking life. You know, video killed the fucking radio star, dude. Like, that's what's going on here, you know? And same thing happened to Charlie Chaplin. The mics would come on, and these silent film actors, it was like an overload. It was like, does not compute.
Yeah, wait, Charlie didn't make the jump to talkies?
He did. He made the jump to talkies as well, but about as well as Clara Bow did.
Really?
Where
interesting.
It's not like talkies killed their career immediately. They would go a little bit of a stretch into these talkies, but it was almost like a novelty act to have silent film stars being in talkies, and their fad would end. Like, rather than the talkies ending, we were just done seeing them try to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
I see what you mean.
These people are old. Now we got talkies actors who are learning the craft from the ground up.
Yeah, James Cagney's killing it right now.
Exactly,
you know,
he's
ripping the game.
Yes.
You know? Clara Bow, who?
Yeah,
who,
Clara
why?
Bow, who? Yeah, yeah. Cag started in 1930. He started with talkies. Mm-hmm. He developed within the medium, and he developed within the art.
Yeah.
And we sort of ousted all these people who were trying to catch up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't really have any sympathy for it, though, because it's like, yeah, now you're actually being asked to do a difficult job. Like, anyone could be a fucking silent film actor, dude. Anyone could fucking be a silent film actor. Like, you just have
How dare you?
Just be hot and smile when I say so. You know what I mean? It's like,
hey, what, she was full pants?
Yeah. Like, and she was doing one tear at a time. She did have...
That's true. I mean, that's more talent than I'll give most silent film actors.
She had emoting talent.
Yeah, but like, you know, if being asked as an actor to memorize lines is the breaking point, it's like, then you never deserve this career to begin with.
Well, and I mean, but at the time it was unprecedented, so it was like they didn't even know you didn't deserve this career to begin with until you didn't.
Yeah,
you know, it was a transition into a whole new era that people just didn't quite survive. Not a lot of silent film stars survived.
Was there any silent film star who like killed it as a talkie actor?
There were a few. That, again, Sunset Boulevard, man. Watch that movie. Sunset Boulevard was all about this. Like, that was her whole thing, was she was a silent film actress, and she always talks about, like, the talkies killed us, you know? And she was this fucking relic, you know? And that's what these people became. They became relics, you know? It was just nobody really survived. Charlie Chaplin, honestly, like, the stuff that he talked in, not good.
Really?
Not that great.
Really?
Not in my opinion.
Yeah.
His silent stuff was silent stuff was Charlie Chaplin, but like, him talking, it was weird to me. It's weird to me, and the funny thing about Clara Bow is as soon as she started talking, there was a mixed review, but you got to imagine, you've been watching her in movies for years now, and she's silent, and now all of a sudden you're hearing her voice.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a face reveal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
And everyone had their own idea of what she sounded like.
Yeah. In your head, you knew... It was like reading a book that came to life, you know? Like, in your head, you knew what she sounded like. And then, remember, she's from Brooklyn. So she starts fucking talking, and she's this fucking Clara Bow, you know? And she's fucking like, show me your dick, you know? And it's like fucking... Yeah. It's not...
It ruined the magic for
some
people.
It ruined the magic for some people.
So... The Great Dictator was a talkie, though, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, there was... Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, I feel like that's a pretty graceful transition to talkies.
No, for sure, and a lot of them did, and she had success with it. I mean, she did. We're going to get into it, but, like, she didn't fail at it, you know?
Okay. Well, Chaplin also owned his own studio and distribution channels, and, like, it wasn't... It was all whether he wanted to do it or not, and then people were going to go see it regardless. It's like if Tom Cruise went from silent film to talkies.
Right.
Yeah. And you're like, it's a fucking Tom Cruise movie. Yeah.
We're going to see
it. We're going to see it.
Yeah, and especially he's
Mission
doing...
Mission Impossible 10?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, and this time he's talking, you know? It's like we get to hear what this fucker sounds like after all these years. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's going to happen. Yeah. That literally is going to happen.
Yeah.
So one problem is... This new technology, this new talking thing, requires mics. Now microphones get introduced on set. And these mics, the way that they were doing things is you set up the fucking mic in one place and the actor would step into their light, step in front of this microphone, deliver their dialogue, and you would plant yourself and deliver your dialogue. And that was like the way to do it because this is all brand new. You know, we all got to work with each other here. Clara Bow, famously, like I said...
Didn't really like that.
She didn't really like to stand still. She did not stand in one place to deliver her dialogue. She was a fucking... Float like a butterfly, sting like a fucking bee. And they had to follow her around. You remember...
Yeah.
They got her more cameras to do man trap.
Is she responsible for inventing the boom?
She is responsible for inventing the boom, Deb.
I figure that,
So, she goes to... plant herself. This is the first time she's going to be on a microphone. The first time that Clara Bow, the biggest movie star in the world, steps in front of a planted microphone with her halfway memorized drunk dialogue that she has to deliver. She goes and sticks it in front of the fucking microphone. She goes to say her fucking dialogue, and I shit you not, the fucking microphone explodes. No idea why.
She's too loud. No, I mean, that's the thing. You can't speak too loudly or else it fucks up the mic.
I think that's a normal reaction when chlamydia hits the microphone.
It blew up.
Yeah.
It blew up, like, to the point where, like, they had to shut down production for a bit. They were overheating. The mics were overheating, and they were all fucking, like, blowing up. We're just figuring this shit out.
Yeah.
And this is the other part that I have about what they were doing. I totally get that this is the new medium, but you're putting, like, these huge movie stars in front of, like, brand new technology that is not safe, you know? Like, these mics were overheating like fucking crazy. They're blowing up.
And I love that, like, conversation when they're like, she keeps moving around. How are we going to fix this?
How are we going to fix this?
Go get that broomstick over there.
Yeah.
Let's go tape that bitch to that broomstick and tie it up to the end of it.
She basically said that. She was like, this fucking thing is overheating because it's just staying in one place. I'm not going to sit here and just plant myself in front of the microphone that's, like, clearly, like, smoking hot and the thing's about to blow up in my face.
Hot mic.
Hot mic. Literal hot mic. I'm not going to stand in front of a literal fucking hot mic and deliver this dialogue. I'm about to walk. So they were like, we got to figure this out. We can't let Clairbo walk off of this picture. This whole medium is brand new. The studio's, like, got everything on us to fucking make this work. They gave us Clairbo to make this fucking talkie thing happen. And we just blew up a microphone in front of her fucking face. Like, what do we do? And so somebody got a fucking, like, improvised boom at the time. It was just some, like, sticks or some shit that they found.
Broom handles. It's got to be
broom handles,
handle.
Shit
one
like
thing
that.
You're going to have laying around.
Yes.
But, you know, it's a fucking tree branch or something.
Well, and microphones back then were huge. Would it fit on a broom handle?
I don't know. But they strapped. Okay, well, like they weren't huge. They weren't too big.
Yeah, regardless, you're on a studio lot. You could just go grab a piece of the set and chop it off and use that.
And they built like a boom. Like,
so they
the
could
first,
follow her around
so
the
they
set?
Could follow her around the set, and she felt better about that than just like standing in front of it, even though it still might blow up.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's not going to be right in front of your face. Hey. So they invented the boom mic for Clara Bow so she can move around the set.
That's crazy.
So that was her first talkie that she did. She goes on to do two more talkies that year, Dangerous Curves. Dangerous Curves. And The Saturday Night Kid. And to her surprise, people are loving it. Like, she's not failing at this.
Okay.
She is, like, she's doing it. Her fucking harsh Brooklyn accent. To some people, they're out.
Was she able to memorize her lines?
I don't know, man.
How did that work?
I think she had it on the fucking palm of her hand.
Just feeding it to her.
Yeah.
You know.
Again, we keep harking back to Babylon, but there is that scene, you know, Margot Robbie, and she has that, like, sweaty piece of paper that she's trying to read her fucking dialogue on, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, I think that's how they were doing it.
Yeah.
She flubbed lines all the time. They had to do, like, 30 takes for, like, a bunch of shit that she was doing.
Yeah.
She is not, this is all new, you know? This is a completely fucking new thing that they are just struggling through, you know, to get this thing done. They loved it. Paramount loved it. Paramount loved her. The Brooklyn accent thing, like I said, was like a sort of a buzzkill for a lot of people. But for a lot of people, they were like, yeah, makes sense. Like, she played, you know, I mean, she played like the Wings girl and she played the tomboy and she played like the girl who would beat the shit out of people in movies. Like, even like her first movie that she did that she got off of that fucking magazine competition that she did back in the day, she got in like a real fist fight with a kid in front of a camera and she like, they actually like traded blows, you know. She was that type. So, like, the harsh Brooklyn accent wasn't a huge shock to a lot of people, you know, and including Paramount. Paramount was like, yeah, fuck it. We've been hearing you in meetings for years. We know what you sound like, you know. You've been yelling at us for a lot of years, so we know exactly what you're going to do.
That's crazy.
But, of course, she hated this. She hated doing talkies.
Yeah.
She said, I hate talkies. They're stiff and limited. You lose a lot of your cuteness because there's no chance for action, and action is the most important thing to me.
I hate this. I hate it so much. Learn how to do your job.
But it wasn't a job yet until now, you know?
Yeah, it was. Theaters existed.
Yeah. Okay, touche.
Yeah, it's like, oh, now you have to do the acting part of the acting job? Like,
I mean, touché. But this is like, you know, there's a craft around being a mime.
Yeah.
Now that type of entertainment isn't for everybody, but it requires a skill set. It is a different branch of the art tree.
Right. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah. It was a very short window of time where acting didn't involve dialogue.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, you had that tiny little window.
How, like, if sound was implemented when film first started, we wouldn't have this era, and then we wouldn't have, like, all of these good physical comedy references things afterwards. It came, decades later.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
how many things are referenced from just like a Jim Carrey took a lot of his physical comedy
Buster
from
Keaton.
Fucking
Buster Chapman. Absolutely.
Yeah, that stuff's cool. Yeah, and that stuff's cool. And also like the spectacle that like Charlie Chaplin, like the Buster Keaton stuff were putting on was really dope. But but it's like, I don't know. You should have always known that the talking was coming at some point.
But yeah, that's a very good point, man. I mean, acting without dialogue was a very short window. Like, for thousands of years, they have been acting while performing dialogue. Yeah. And
so
you're
they
in this...
did this back in the Renaissance era. They would have, like, stage plays that would be timed to classical music. And they would have, like, you know, a big orchestral movement of like woodwinds and then like people acting stuff out in the court, like in the court jester and like some of the people, like, you know, maybe sometimes they'd sing, but really like they'd go through the motions and do like a little bow and a comedy sketch and like, you know, you
fart.
Could get away with farts, that type of shit.
A lot of dick jokes. They used to pee on stage.
Whoa.
Yeah, like the Shakespearean times, they would like take a piss and that was like the funniest thing you could do during a play.
Wow.
It was like, you know, for the cheap seats.
What a time.
Yeah, what a time, baby.
Splash zone.
You got the red seats in the front and then you're about to be splashed with piss.
Yeah.
I mean, what is acting without words and just movement if not dancing?
Damn right. There you go.
Like when you're a dancer in a ballet, like to do
but
the,
they weren't,
the nutcracker.
They weren't asking these people to dance either.
No.
Clear about it.
But I mean, flipping, getting real bullets shot at you and flipping over a piano and like dodging a thing, like that's physical. Like, especially when they didn't have safety fucking practices.
No. A lot of these fist fights were real. I mean, go back and listen to the CAG episodes.
Who was it? Like, Chaplin, somebody
CAG
almost died.
CAG was voiced.
CAG was voiced, damn it.
A train, right?
Oh yeah, or I think that was Harold Lloyd. Was that his name?
What the
one
train
of them? And it was
that
super
was
crazy.
The general, yeah, that was Buster Keaton with the general. The train.
Oh, was it the train one?
Yeah, train derailment.
I thought that might have been.
No, I mean that's the thing. Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, they were doing insane, like insane stunts.
Yeah.
Like that's one thing.
Yeah.
But like
Harold Lloyd climbed that building, you know, like
No, I mean that's different. That's like that's insane stunt work. That's,
but to clear
know,
both speaking was the insane.
Was the
but
stunt
it's
work.
Almost like more difficult to communicate so much information without using words. That's why it's. I feel like it's more of a challenge to try to convey like, oh, I am feeling sad and conflicted, or I'm feeling this or that.
Right.
It, without, I mean, sure, all you had was title cards for dialogue, but if you imagine if you didn't even have title cards and you're just trying to, like, Bane, and what's his face, Ed Hardy, just communicate everything in your eyes.
Right.
You know, like, only you have a more limited toolbox in your performance.
It's very true.
So it's like, it's easier in a sense where it's like playing, it's like bowling and you have, like, gutter rails just because you can only do these certain things but it's more difficult in the sense where like you're narrowed and you can only do these certain things
because some talkie actors, I mean, let's be honest, I love Bogey, but like Bogey didn't have a whole lot of expression in his face.
Well, let's say like
you know,
couldn't do Shakespeare without talking,
right?
Like, you know,
how
would a fucking Midsummer Night's Dream kind of work in a silent film? I'm sure that there's an adaptation of it, and I'm sure it's garbage.
It's all title cards. It would
it's
just be
all
cards.
Title cards
it
and then
be...
just like woodland nymphs and like fucking and like whatever.
Yeah, like, just straight up actual penetration. Yeah. She did a number of retakes in The Wild Party, and one of the things was her eyes kept wandering up to the microphone now. This new boom mic apparently was, like, catching her attention. And it, I mean, it exploded in her face, like, a few days ago, so, you know, you can't hardly blame her for being, like, fucking watching where it's at. But they kept catching her do that, you know. And this is, again, the new thing. There's fucking... There's space technology flying around my head now, you know. It's like now I'm on a green screen type of shit, you know. There's fucking microphones floating around the goddamn set, picking up everything that I say right now.
Talk to the tennis ball.
Talk to the tennis ball, exactly.
Tennis ball's Yoda. Just keep that in mind.
And so this is where this was sort of the begin of the decline of Clara Bow. So... she is having a hard time with this. Her eyeball's catching the mic. She's looking around. She can't help it. And this is a whole new thing to her. She had a quote. She said, "I can't buck progress. I have to do the best I can."
Mm-hmm.
And that was what she said. She described her nerves as all shot, saying that she had reached the breaking point. And there were reports of, like, rows of bottles of sedatives by her bed during this time. Like, she is fucking... this is psychologically destroying her. Like, she made this whole career, and she got to this pinnacle, and now they changed the game on her, and now she is trying to keep up.
I see.
She's having a fucking hard time with it, you know.
Giving her anxiety. She's stressed out.
Well, you know, absolutely. If you maybe put some of that money away and made some sound investments.
Yeah. But, you know, planning for the future sounds good when the future comes along, you know. At the time, L-I-V-I-N, baby.
So, I mean, so she's just like, she sees the end of the road up ahead, and she's stressed about it.
She's stressed the fuck out. The end of the road is up ahead, and also, like I said, I mean, you know, there are these new actors coming along. They have been speaking in these talkies since the beginning of their career, which is now, this year. But also,
it's now.
But, like, these people have been, they are already ingratiated into this shit, you know? She said one of the things that really broke her is they wanted her to sing in a movie. And imagine, again, if you will, your entire career being silent, and not only now are you being asked to speak, now you're being asked to fucking sing into a microphone for your fans. Like, the fans who have accepted you as the thing that you already are.
Yeah.
And now not only are you revealing what you sound like and who you are when you speak, but now you're fucking having to sing.
Well,
you know?
Like, also, though, again, this is why, I just have no sympathy for the situation. You can afford, or if not you, the studio can afford the best singing coach in Hollywood.
For sure.
You have the resources to get good at all of this.
Yeah.
You can afford acting coaches. You can afford dialogue coaches. You can afford singing coaches. It's not like she's struggling to pay rent working her like 9-to-5 job.
No, she's rich.
Yeah, exactly.
She's super rich.
Like, this would be different if it's like, oh, she's like bartending and like trying to make this acting happen, and then like in the middle of her like rise, the game switched and she can't afford the resources to catch up. It's like, no, you have access to everything you need to stay on top. You just don't want to do the work.
But you might still be off key, man. Even if you get those lessons, you never know.
You can learn how to do anything. Like, she just doesn't want
to
do the work.
There's too many sedatives involved to learn how to do anything.
That's true. Yeah, that's the thing. She doesn't want to get sober, and she don't want to do the work.
If you're pilling yourself into sleep and then pilling yourself into waking up.
Yeah, well, that is a self induced problem, my friend. That's a self-induced problem.
What do you think, Deb? You think people can learn how to sing?
Yes. I think I can teach anyone how to sing.
Okay.
And give me at least an hour with them.
You should have been there for Clara Bow, damn it. Because she said, now they're having me sing. I sort of half sing, half talk. With hips and eyes stuff. You know what I mean. Like Maurice Chevalier. I used to sing at home and people would say, pipe down, you're terrible. But the studio thinks my voice is great. And I think this was a lot of... I think Paramount loved her. And I think she was probably doing not the greatest job, but they loved her. And the audience still loved her no matter what. You're moving tickets.
You're doing great.
You're doing great. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing
I'd like to imagine that she's like, the studio says I sounded great. Like, Family Guy cuts the studio, and it's just some executive like, yeah, it sounds great.
Whatever. Like, fucking, I don't know. Give her an Oscar. I didn't realize, like, that silent film to talkie stuff, how... I mean, I guess I knew, like, all those actors were freaked the fuck out by it, but like these people were freaked the fuck out, you know. This was like Jordan Belfort with his, like, when they started, the SEC started actually crack down on the shit he was doing. It was like, oh shit, like,
I think Singing in the Rain did a really good job explaining the panic around it and stuff. So
it was a panic. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
It was a panic.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's like, oh, no sympathy. I can shed zero tears for you.
You know, I mean, look, the medium's got to evolve.
Yeah.
We can't wait around.
The party had to end eventually. It's like, you got paid to party for a decade.
Yeah.
Now you can learn how to do your job.
When film switched to digital, a lot of actors panicked. They were like, you can see my wrinkles now, you know.
Oh, so, oh yeah, yeah, good point. I mean, think about that.
Dude,
yeah,
the news. This was a big thing with news. News went to HD, and all these anchors all of a sudden aged fucking 30 years, you know. And it was like these people sitting behind the desk, we realized we're just dusty old skeletons.
Yeah,
you know?
That's so
and
funny.
They've been dead for 30 years.
That's so
but
funny.
Like, it was just fuzzy before.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, man. You turn on that HD.
Yeah.
Same with color. Like as soon as the color came into play, like the makeup all had to change. Yeah. You fucking look ridiculous now. Back in black and white silent films, they were wearing like green and red and all sorts of like weird colors on their face because it would read in black and white better. Mm. You know,
it'd be shades of black and white.
Yeah, it'd be shades of black and white. Yeah. And then color came around, and it's like you look like a fucking clown.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
We gotta stop this.
We'll let the joke on.
We'll let the joke on. That's what Clara Bow said. We'll let the joke on set. You know.
It's like a super bassy voice. Yeah. It's like,
oh, the
nobody knows the trouble.
Hey, I'm Clara Bowlby.
Oh, you might remember me from Man Trap. You know, remember me in Wings? Now I'm talking.
Hey, get that hot cock over here.
Hey, yo, hey, bring that dick.
Bring the dicks.
You're like, I don't know if I like Clara Bow anymore. Honey, maybe we shouldn't go see that new Clara Bow movie. I don't know if I want her talking. I liked it when she was quiet.
Oh, man.
And this she really began to have a nervous fucking breakdown. As Rolling Stones would say, my 19th nervous breakdown. And this was making her a wreck. She was going from the silence to the talkies, and it was not going well for her. And on top of that, she had become embroiled in a nasty court battle with her assistant, Daisy DeVoe, over the mishandling of, like, a bunch of fucking money. So, old Daisy, who, you know, told the press that she got the train run on her by the USC football team, turns out she'd been squirreling away a lot of Clara's money.
Ah.
She had been, Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good old embezzlement.
Good old embezzlement. Dumbass Clara didn't know where her money was going. She lives by the fucking seat of her pants.
She doesn't know how much she makes
she
or how
much
she spends.
She doesn't know who the president is. She doesn't give a shit. You know, Daisy DeVoe very much knew how much she made, did know who the president was, and was taking a lot of that money.
Oh, man.
So she's in a huge court battle with her. She's trying to go from
this.
How
did she find out?
Oh, somebody told her, I'm sure. Somebody was like, hey, I know you never look at your bank account, but
looking at her books and being like, hey, there should be more of this. Yeah. You spend a lot, but not this much.
Probably the studio. They're probably like, hey, man, like, you know where your money's going, right? She was like, no, what do you mean? I make $50 a week still, just like I did back in 1923, you know?
Well, like, that's Stooges contract.
That's Stooges contract. Don't let them know how much they're worth, you know? And that was very prevalent. Still happens to this day. A lot of people's money managers run off of their money still to this day. Wow. Looking at you, Dane Cook. But yeah,
his brother.
I don't know. It was his brother slash manager.
Yeah.
He let his brother manage his shit.
Damn.
A lot of people in Hollywood get put in charge of huge movie stars' lives who have no business doing so. You know, that has been since time immemorial.
A lot of money stuff happening.
A lot of money stuff happening. Yeah. A lot of money getting stolen from people.
Yeah.
BP.
Easy mock.
Yeah, easy mock. Yeah. I was an easy mock. Me, Clara Bow. She knew just how to get me. that was her when she started the talkies.
Clara LeBeau just sounds like Mo now.
Yeah.
They had me memorizing dialogue.
Seymour Butts.
I couldn't really sing all that good because of the cigarettes.
Was she a heavy smoker?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure she was. Everybody at the time was a heavy smoker, man. That was the health. That was your health.
That was the health stick.
That was the health stick.
I don't feel too good. Have you lit up a health stick today?
You're not green yet. You need to keep smoking. And if you want to hear all the things that you didn't hear in the episode...
I love hearing things that I never heard before, and we have so much of that. We recorded this episode for like 4 hours, but then...
obviously, we need to cut out super off-topic stuff. Like, if you're listening to Humphrey Bogart, you don't want a 30-minute tirade about Ezra Miller.
Right.
Or maybe you do, and now you can hear it.
That's the right. Ezra Miller arc is one of the best underrated arcs I've ever even experienced.
Yes.
So that plus fun tidbits, mm-hmm. plus bonus episodes. I did a 3-part episode on the history of musicals.
That's yeah, right. We got some legacy content, like some old game history episodes and... history of everything, like Dev was saying. But if you want those shows to come back, the quickest way to make that happen is to subscribe. Because the more subscribers we get, the more content we can make.
And then we can quit our fucking jobs and make it this.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd love to quit being unemployed.
Me too.
That's the job I would like to resign from.
Listen, we're turning down deals from studios and networks left and right. Best way you can support the show is by subscribing to our Patreon.
If you don't want us to sell to Disney, subscribe to our Patreon. And our fun tidbits, by the way, are videos, which is like audio for your eyeballs.
Which is a crazy new technology.
Crazy new technology. You can see our mugs and Fight Club style. We put little blips of naked photos of us in the videos.
One frame.
One
frame.
Boop. Tasteful frontals.
That's right.
If you can find the frame, DM us. It's only $5 a month, but if you don't have the capacity to subscribe right now, you can also just give us like single donations, which every little bit helps. So, but if not, you know, no worries.
No pressure. But we don't want to sell to Disney.
No pressure.
But there is pressure because we can't pay our rent.
Yeah, yeah. Please, we're gonna be doing this. We're gonna be doing this on the street.
Actually, this is a begging plea. Please help. Please donate. So
our audio.
Seven children.
Our audio is gonna be so echoey under that bridge. So
we're gonna be recording this in a box.
We can't go back.
All right.
But check us out on Patreon at Film History,
the history of film.
Now back to the episode. You remember B.P. Schulberg, the Preferred Pictures guy who signed her, and then they moved over to Paramount together, you know?
Yeah.
B.P. Schulberg, he's still there at Paramount during this whole thing, and he began referring to her as Crisis A Day Clara.
Oh, my God.
She's fucking losing it. And while she's going through this breakdown, she is simultaneously losing her shit and becoming a bigger movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in 1930, she is second in the box office only to Joan Crawford, like the biggest movie star in the fucking world. And then there's Clara Bow.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going wild, of course. She has this mix now of, like, stress, everyday heart attack. I'm putting myself to bed with pills every night. Mm-hmm. But the world is on fire for her, you know? Like, she is, like... the most famous fucking thing in the world, and in her mind, she is losing it, you know? So it is that that age-old tale of, like, someone losing their mind right in front of everyone.
Desperately just trying to hold on to it.
Yeah.
She just can't. Through her fingers, and she sees it, and she knows it. She knows the end is coming.
She knows the end is coming.
And she's not willing to take singing lessons.
And this is one of the, this is one of the times where she is fucking... She is fucking, man. She's engaging in affairs.
Helps with the nerves.
Yeah, helps with the nerves. You got to have some sex with actors Gilbert Roland, Gary Cooper, the director, Victor Fleming, the one who put her in the first Paramount. She's fucking him. Huge Victor Fleming, by the way. Huge legend. She's fucking a married doctor named Earl Pearson, and she is fucking the king of Broadway, Harry Richman. All this year. She's just like going through these dudes, you know. Just fucking losing her mind.
And you guys still think that it wasn't all the football players?
Yes, I know. 26 people back to back. It's like, again, there's no lube back then. You're just like,
Claire LeBeau does not need
by
no
the
lube.
Fifth
that's
dude,
right, baby.
By the fifth dude, you're bleeding. Like, it's like, that's
not, with the amount of cream pies that are in there.
That's an incomparable situation.
It's just the dude for her actually
the lube.
The lube
was the dude.
Right. It's the lube was the dude.
It's an indomitable situation.
It's an indomitable. It's indomitable. Gossip about Bo's private life was so pervasive that the Coast Reporter ran a 3-week series in which it named her as the mistress of several different men and claimed that she often had sex in public, engaged in threesomes with prostitutes, slept with women when no man was available, and turned to animals when no human companionship was at hand. So
I kind of like Claire LeBeau.
Man, for
3 weeks, if you were a subscriber to the Coast Reporter, you were getting the Clarabeau fuck report. And it was going through the list of everyone she had fucked for 3 weeks straight. And by the end of it, it was like, I don't know, a goat, like a fucking women, a goat, a horse, whatever this woman could get her hands on. She's fucking it. All right.
That's what, like, I, first of all, I don't believe the animal part, but I like the logic. I want to like put myself in the shoes of the logic here, where it's like, when she can't find a human partner, she finds an animal. Where the fuck did she find the animal?
Well, it was there's animals.
It's horses way on her more property. Work. Yeah. It's got to be way more work to go find an animal to fuck than get a human being.
It,
you know
for her,
mean?
Yes. For her, it was picking up a phone and calling any man in the world.
Exactly. Or going to any bar or whatever. You have to. I'm saying you would have to go through more effort if you were Clarabeau to find this animal.
You're saying the when no human companionship was at hand was not a problem. There was never no human companionship at hand for Clarabeau. I don't know, man.
To the point where an animal is more accessible than a human.
And I want to really drive this in, because what we're talking about right now, everything that we have mentioned, it is 1931 at this point. She is 25 years old by the time everything that we have talked about for the past five parts of Clarabeau. She has now reached the ripe old age of 25 years old.
That's crazy.
Did she invent the donkey show?
Before she was 25. She made Forbes 25 under 25 because she invented the donkey show.
Inventions Claire LeBeau's responsible for. Boom mics, donkey shows.
Boom mics and donkey shows.
Trains.
Is that the name of this episode? Boom mics and donkey shows? So, 25 years old, comes around, 1931. You remember... She said at the end of her contract with Paramount, she's retiring from acting. She has one more picture that she owes Paramount. It's called City Streets.
Why is she so stressed if she was going to retire anyway?
Man, you say you're going to retire. Mm-hmm. Brad Pitt said he was going to hang up his SAG card in 2015.
That's funny.
You know, like people. Tom Brady said he was going to retire, and he divorced his entire family and killed his children.
Yeah.
You know, Alex Murdoch style. By the way, he got found guilty.
You're like, why is she so stressed? Oh, I don't know, because she was raped by her dad when she was a child? Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Living off of benzos.
Yeah, well, I mean, but this seems like a new stress. That thing happened a long time ago. It seems like there's some new trauma that's creeping up.
We're going to get into it.
Oh, okay.
Actually, very interesting you say that. You actually just kind of called something there, Dre.
Oh, okay.
You're reading into stuff here. Ooh, I like it. You're reading the fabrics of time.
Between the lines, as they say.
You're reading between the lines, baby. Yeah. We're tapped in right now.
Nice.
So, at 25 25 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, at 25.
Ripe old age of 25.
The ripe old age of 25. She reaches her fucking breaking point. She owes one more picture to Paramount called City Streets, and she says, I'm not doing that fucking movie. I can't do that movie. And they said, yes, the fuck you are. You're under contract. And she said, I'm going fucking nuts. I can't sleep at night. I'm literally drugging myself to fucking death here. This talkie thing ain't for me. Mm-hmm. You know? And they said, I'm sorry. You got to do it. Mm-hmm. So she said, fuck y'all. I'm going to Looney Bin. So she checked into a sanatorium at 25 years old. In the Looney Bin I go. And she was asked, she asked to be let go from her contract, which Paramount said, well, we can't very well film you in the nut house, so sure. I guess you got your way. You know, go heal, young girl.
Monetary...
So wait, there's a place I can go that'll feed me pills and get me on a regimen, and I don't have to see anybody except dudes I fuck?
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah. And you know, at the time...
They give me a padded room for rough sex anyways.
And part of that is a good point, though. Part of that is she was working 19 hours a fucking day, you know, on all the drugs. She doesn't eat. She drinks like gallons of liquor a day. She doesn't drink water. She is careening into this thing. And for her, like the sanatorium is a place where you
rehab before rehab.
Yes, you go to bed at 9 p.m. and you wake up at 6 and they feed you and you just have like a chill fucking
you just run the risk of like waking up with them scheduling a lobotomy.
Yeah, now, that did happen to her.
Electroshock therapist.
They electroshock therapists. No, they didn't lobotomize her, but they put the old electroshock on her.
Damn.
That was kind of their hammer meets every problem.
Yes.
Back then.
Yeah. All right. Just shock her.
You know what'll work? Let's just pass copious amounts of electrical current through your brain.
Yeah. Every problem is a nail, and every solution is electricity.
They put those nodes on the old
temples.
Leave it
to humans. Like when something dies, we just shock it with electricity.
Yeah.
Like
a
car or human heart.
We either try
like
to shock
whatever.
You numb or shock you back to awake.
Yeah.
Either way.
And if you're too spicy, you shock you too.
we'll fix it with electricity.
Shoot you with a little wire and just
If you get too spicy, we'll shock you. If you get too down low, we'll shock you. Okay.
It's like, whatever you are, too far extreme. Let's put a giant jolt of electricity and see if it freaks out.
It'll do something.
It'll do something. It'll either bring you up or bring you down.
We'll find out which one.
They fucking shocked her, dude. They fucking electroshocked Clara Bow. Like, you know, this huge movie stars and they're fucking being electroded. And she did. She lived out her sentence here at the crazy house. But they electroshocked her back into oblivion.
Was there a monetary penalties coming with not fulfilling her contract?
I didn't see anything about that. I think even back in those days, if you needed to go, if you needed to go, like I don't think they could hold you too much to it. Especially like imagine the publicity. You know, she checks herself into the sanatorium and I say this, I say that, but also like Jack Warner existed at the time. Jack Warner were just throwing her out of a window. I don't know. I could definitely see Adolf Zukor being like, no, but you still owe us money. You know, I don't know. I didn't pull up anything about that.
I assume they just like, you know, they probably pay her in installments. They might just not pay the last one.
Well, she did. And, you know, I mean, she had probably made most of her money by then, which was damn near in inflation, $4 million for that year. Even if she made $3 million of those dollars.
How much does the sanatorium cost?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know how much that shit costs.
They're like, it's free. We just like shocking
people.
Yeah,
as long as you let us shock you, you can come in here for free. Like, whoever you are. Like, no matter who you are, just let us put the electrodes on you and come on in. You know,
kicks.
Maybe that's what I need. Maybe I just need to be electroshocked a few times.
Just make sure they put them on your head and not your nipples.
Can they do both at the same time?
I think that might be the reverse
effect.
If
they do both at the same time, I will no longer be depressed, okay?
And
do it all.
He moves them from his head down to
his balls. Yeah. I'm like, zap me, baby. I got some Apple EarPods on my head acting like they're the nodes, you know?
The nodes,
but they're actually my balls.
Give me the nodes.
So she had been having this thing with this Western actor from time to time. His name was
Really Partner.
Really Partner. Hey there, partner. Hey there, partner. It's me, Clara Bow. You wanna wrangle up? So his name was Rex Bell.
That's made up.
Yeah.
That's
it was
a
all
porn
made up.
Name.
Yeah. Rex Bell. Rex Bell, y'all. He'd tip his hat.
Rexy B.
He was a, like, you know, a pretty successful Western actor at the time. He was doing all sorts of stuff. Pretty famous for his day. And he had a big ranch in Nevada. So when she was done with the old grippy sock vacation, being electroded, she went to recover at his ranch. She went to go stay with Rex. She was staying off the drugs. She was staying off the booze. She was doing, like, the ranch life.
Mm-hmm.
The ranch life fixed so many of these fucking actors, right? We had James Cagney move to his farm.
Yeah.
We had Will Rogers moving to his ranch.
Yeah.
Which ultimately ended up in him dying in a plane.
Telling me to move out of the place that fucked you up mentally is a good thing.
To move out of this hellscape of a concrete dungeon into some fucking fresh air for a while. Turns out it does you fucking good, you know? And that's exactly what she did. She went to go recover at his ranch. She was sleeping. She was staying off the booze and the drugs. And being so far away from the Garden of Allah over there in Sunset Boulevard, she really wasn't fucking a whole lot of people either. Besides Rex, you know? So it was just her and old Rex.
And the animals.
And the animals, yeah. According to some people, yeah, probably the animals outside.
Yeah.
But you know what? Rex don't care about that as long as it ain't the USC football team. Yeah. You know? Fuck my horse. I don't care. Just don't fuck every man in the town. You know? So Rex,
nobody knows you're fucking my horse.
She had already been electrocuted. She probably wasn't fucking nothing. But she was... she was fucking Rex enough to where...
Yeah, was she, based on reports, when she got out, was she not all there anymore?
She was not all there anymore. And it wasn't just because... It was the chicken or the egg situation. Mm-hmm. It was not because of the sanatorium. Mm-hmm. It was because of the reason why she went to the sanatorium in the first place. This was beginning... Her breakdown over the talkies was not just because she was moving into a new medium. It turned out there were some seriously deeper lying issues here.
Ooh.
You think?
Yeah, I think.
Ooh, are we getting into what those deeper issues are?
We're going to talk about what those deeper issues are.
Oh, this gets better and better.
It's better and fucking better.
Oh, what
or
a...
worse and fucking
what
worse.
What a story, dude. Wow.
Oh, my God.
There's been... twists, turns, ups, downs,
telling you,
flips, flipperoos.
Switchy dudes.
M. Night Shyamalan twists left and right.
You can't keep on us. You can't keep on us, baby. If you're trying to skitch behind our car on a skateboard, we're flipping you around, you know. She marries Rex, which, by the way, they had a small ceremony in Las Vegas in like the 30s.
Mm.
And I just want to see this ceremony in Vegas in the 30s, you know. What did Vegas even look like? I don't even know. It must have been like a tiny little town. A
lot of dirt.
It
was just a motel town.
Yeah.
It was casinos.
I don't
really
think so
there.
Either. No.
It was like a pit stop on the highway to get out to fucking Cali.
Yeah. Maybe like a general store and shit. Yeah. And they went
got
married
outside
there.
The general
store. There was a town. It was a gold rush city.
Yeah. Yeah. They
got married outside the general store.
They got married inside of the general store. They rode the little, you know, bouncy horse outside, I'm
hell
sure.
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
know, in her wedding dress.
Put a quarter in.
That's right. And Rex is just like, fuck it, I'm marrying the biggest movie star in the world. Like, in this little desert town. She had her shit together enough. She would go to LA every now and then, and she would film the occasional movie. She did say, you know, I'm done with this shit, but basically she still needs money. And the funny thing is every studio in the world is calling this girl. She's getting calls from her agent at the Nevada Ranch like, hey, you're out of the sanatorium now. We have international studios asking for you. Like, you could be the biggest movie star in the world. This talkie thing not only worked out for you, but like, we have piles of offers in the fucking office for you. Mm-hmm. If you came back to LA right now, you could be the biggest movie star in the whole world.
Yeah.
That was like the offer. And she was like, I'm going to come back to LA. I'll do a few of these movies. Ain't doing that. No contracts. No long-term contract. She signed her longest contract that she signed was with Fox. She did a 2-picture deal with Fox.
Wow, that's it.
Yeah, and that was it. And she just would jump around from like doing a movie with studios here and there, but she was abso-fucking-lutely not going to get on contract. And that was like her big thing. She was ready to begin the end of this thing, you know, and she was going to go live the rest of her days as a nobody on this ranch with Rex Bell. And that was her plan.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so in 1933, Clara Bow starred in a movie called Hoopla and officially retired from acting. That is the end of her IMDb credits.
Wow.
That is it.
Wow.
1933.
Damn.
It's done.
How old is she? 27?
27 years old.
Wow.
Yep.
Damn.
Yep. Yep. She's younger than MGK.
That's crazy.
Know? Or
yeah.
wait. It,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He just turned 30.
Yeah. She is that fucking young.
That's crazy.
And she officially retires from acting. And she just spends she spends a few years here where she and Rex are just spitting out babies. She has like 2 kids with him until like, you know, one in 1934, one in 1937. In 1937, they opened the It Cafe at the bottom of the Hollywood Plaza Hotel right over here.
Oh.
Right by the Hillview or whatever, the apartments that
yeah.
she was living in.
Wait, the Hollywood Plaza Hotel.
The Hollywood Plaza Hotel. It's right down Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh. There's still a bar down there?
Probably.
It was a bar, right?
No, it was a cafe. It Cafe.
Is the It Cafe still there?
No way, man.
Oh, okay.
No way. Wouldn't that be cool, though?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. It's like a fucking, like, It's a TikTok agency.
Sweet, yeah. You know. Okay.
It's a McDonald's. It's a plant-based McDonald's now.
Right, okay.
And this is where shit gets sad again.
Cool.
What a high we had, right?
Yeah.
Things were going great.
Had to happen.
So Claire's whole thing now, she no longer wants to be famous. She retires from acting, damn near lost her mind due to stardom. She's done with the public life. And for years now, like into the 40s, she and Rex Bell just had their cafe. They had their kids. He was still an actor, but like, you know, he had never been like Clara Bow.
Yeah.
He was just like a Western actor.
Yeah.
You know? He was just doing his thing. It was a two-bit fucking hustler. You know?
Yeah.
We got to put that in the intro too.
Oh, yeah.
And this really began to morph into more psychological issues than we had known previously. She became very reclusive. She never wanted to leave the house, and this turned into she never wanted Rex to leave the house, she never wanted the kids to leave the house, and she became very afraid of the outside world. What do you call that? When you're agoraphobic.
Agoraphobic, yeah.
She began to develop severe agoraphobia.
Where did this come from?
Dude, it was tick, 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 fucking ticking in her head the whole time.
Mm.
She didn't know it yet, but she was developing severe schizophrenia. Which sort of explains the mental breakdown. Like I said, I think the whole thing harks back to this shit, even though she didn't know it at the time. She wasn't just freaking out because things are changing on her and the talkies and all this. She was also fucking in her head, ticking away to agoraphobia and schizophrenia.
And that was like when it started.
When it started. And I almost wonder, all those drugs that she used to take was quelling the shit. And she goes to the sanatorium and she goes clean. And now this shit is just raw.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe. Yeah, like, she's just like she was too fucked up she was disassociating.
Exactly,
it wasn't like there enough to know there were other voices in her head.
Yeah, exactly, man. Problem is, Rex did not have schizophrenia nor agoraphobia, nor did he share her want to be out of the spotlight. He was like, "That's not really what I want to do. That's cool for you, babe. I do want to be in the spotlight." You know, like. I'm not crazy. I'm just Rex Bell. I've done some good Westerns in my time, you know?
Most people with schizophrenia symptoms generally start in the mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
But can start as late as mid 30s.
Yep.
Wow.
Turns out, schizophrenia can be onset.
Yeah.
Very terrifying.
Yeah, wow. I don't know. Her mom was a wackadoo.
Her mom was absolutely schizophrenic. By the way, I found out another detail about that. Her mom did not try to kill her. Because they were starving. Her mom tried to kill her because she talked about wanting to go into acting. And her mom said, "I'd rather you fucking dead than
be
an actor."
Holy shit.
So, yeah, like you said, her mom
runs in the family.
Runs in the family. Like we said, we said she got diagnosed with
schizophrenia?
Cuckoo bananas.
Oh, cuckoo bananas. Yeah,
cuckoo
her
bananas.
Mom was cuckoo bananas.
Her
mom
was cuckoo bananas.
Yeah.
She picked up the cuckoo bananas gene
from
her mother.
The cuckoo bananas gene, yeah.
And Rex did not have the cuckoo bananas. He was very much a normal guy, just a normal Western actor.
Yeah.
So Rex wanted to parlay his acting career into politics.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And in 1944, he started his run for the U.S. House of Representatives, which now very much puts the whole family...
In the spotlight.
In the spotlight.
Yep.
Into the public eye. Mm-hmm. So he's on the campaign trail. He's doing his thing. And this is not only like... Like, Clara Bow's name is, of course, one of the biggest parts of this. Clara Bow's husband is trying to do the U.S. House of Representatives.
Yeah.
He is an actor in his own right, but let's be honest, you know.
Yeah.
It's her fucking name in all the papers.
Yeah.
And along comes with that, where has she been?
Yeah.
She went to the sanatorium. Mm-hmm. We know she was crazy. She got electroshocked. All this stuff is just being rehashed.
Right, yeah,
you know?
It's all coming back up.
It's all coming back up
again.
Stressing her the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes home one day from being on the campaign trail. No details are given of how, but this was Claire Bow's first suicide attempt. She tried to kill herself at some point during his campaign trail.
Mm-hmm.
It's real fun. This whole episode is just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was really dropped off a cliff.
Yeah.
All roller coasters, you know, gotta come down eventually.
Gotta come down eventually. Yeah.
This one's coming down into a schizophrenic twist, which I didn't see coming.
I didn't see it coming either.
Yeah, I was trying to play tennis in my head of all the different things that you could bring up, and that was not on my bingo card.
No, man. So. And I think she's the first actress that we've really had, you know, or the first actor that we've covered that this happened to, where it was like, I mean, some of them have fallen off because of drugs and alcohol or death due to whatever.
Hot dogs.
Yeah. Well, Marlon Brando, he was a mental case for sure. Yeah. Interesting. But Claire Beau probably beat him.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, at least, you know, he made it on up there.
Yeah. fucking, who was old car explodey?
Old car explodey?
James Dean.
James Dean
was also wacko.
He was wacko.
Yeah.
He was
He was cuckoo bananas.
He was cuckoo bananas.
Yeah.
A lot of these people were cuckoo bananas. He was just dramatic.
Yeah, because you were like Marlon Brando told
maybe.
Because Marlon Brando said he was a psycho, right?
Maybe James Dean reaches 35 years old and he's like, boy, I was real cuckoo bananas back then. I was really being dramatic back in those days. Hey, you gave me the chance again and I won't drive that Porsche like that, I promise. But Clarabo was definitely cuckoo bananas, definitely tried to kill herself, and back to the sanatorium.
It's a professional diagnosis.
Yep, and back into the grippy socks she goes. They sent her to the sanatorium. Rex actually sent her there because, you know, he finds her fucking half dead on the floor. Sends her to the sanatorium. Insult to injury. He's running for politics. He is, you know, you talk about a fucking morality clause. Like, everything's got to be squeaky clean on Rex's part. So, I'm sending you away. You're going to go to the loony bin. Don't want you really to come back. And I don't really want you to talk to the kids anymore either.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, that second part's not unreasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're a bit too cuckoo bananas to be around me and the kids and my political career now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, well, political career stuff aside, like, if I want to give this most charitable interpretation, it's like, maybe she shouldn't be around the kids.
Yeah, probably not.
Like, that's, you know.
Her mom tried to kill her with a butcher knife.
Yeah. She just tried to kill herself.
But also, like, fuck any actor that also wants to be a politician.
That's also true, yeah. That's
like,
why, yeah.
You are a true sociopath. Yeah. If you, A, want to be an actor, and then, A, want to be a politician after, like, you're just living lies. Like, everything you do in every aspect of your life is a lie.
No, right. I've never seen a case that I personally was like, that worked out well.
Yeah.
Like,
if I were Claire LeBeau, I would have admitted myself into that insane asylum.
Yeah.
I would have been living with you is just as bad as living with my father who raped me.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. What's he been up to?
Oh, man, who knows? He might have been dead by now. I lost track of her dad.
Move in with her and Rex. No. So, like, where'd he go?
I lost track of her dad.
Her dad changed his name to Rex Bell.
Became a Western actor, turned into a politician. Right.
Because, like, he was living off of her. Where did he go?
I lost track of her dad, and I don't give a fuck. I hope he died in a fire explosion. I hope Will Rogers' plane landed on him.
I hope
you
the
know?
Horse fucked him.
Yeah. I hope he got fucked to death by a horse.
Yeah.
Fucking.
That'd be justice.
So she checked into the Institute of Living to be treated for chronic insomnia.
Institute of LIVIN.
LIVIN.
For a psych ward. Institute of Living. Gee, you know what I bet doesn't go on there? Living.
Living, baby. The IOLIVIN. You know?
Institutional Living.
The Institution of Living. And she was to be treated for her chronic insomnia. She couldn't sleep. But she also had abdominal pains that she was complaining about. She said her fucking stomach hurt. I don't doubt it. I don't fucking doubt it. You know,
going on and off meds does that to your stomach.
Yeah, and also just living in the 20s is probably terrible for your stomach.
Yeah,
you know.
Great.
So they shocked her again. Mm-hmm. Numerous psychological tests performed.
They're like, oh, y'all fix this. More electricity.
More electricity. Let's just zap her again. I don't know. Do something.
We'll keep zapping her until she's cool with going outside.
Put her in the microwave. And then we'll send her outside. Her IQ was measured as bright normal.
What?
Bright
That's
normal.
How you know the Institute of Living is not a legit place.
No. They were like, I don't know, man.
We measured your IQ at orange.
It's not a number.
A That's not a number.
That's like what I would expect to be on the back of a light bulb case.
Bright, normal.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's like bright, but like normal.
We measured your intelligence at somewhat okay.
Somewhat. You can read.
Blueberry.
You know? You can definitely read. Not your lines. We found that out. And then they zap her again. While other doctors claim she was unable to reason, had poor judgment, and displayed inappropriate or even bizarre behavior.
Her condition seems to be getting worse, doctor.
Zap her again.
I wonder if we zapped her some more times, will it improve? I don't know. It hasn't yet. Well, let's just try it again.
Keep zapping her.
Can we unzap her?
Yeah, she just made a sex joke. Zap her. Which definitely, it sounds like that. Yeah. She was making like inappropriate behavior.
She was
said.
Being herself. And she was being like, herself. Yeah. No, yeah. Let's keep zapping.
And this was that time. Yeah. Like, as a husband, you could just, like, if your wife, like, mouthed off, you could send her to the loony bin. Yeah, yeah. And they'd be like, I don't know, man. Like, she still thinks she has rights.
It's like, oh, she wants to have sex. She's a psychotic.
She's horny. Zap her.
Yeah.
So her pains are, of course, her abdominal pains were considered delusional. And she was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Maybe she was a schizophrenic. I don't know. Maybe I know I'm dying to diagnose.
I know. They said she did not have auditory nor visual hallucinations, but her ass is schizophrenic.
I don't know. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
An autopsy later revealed a giant cancerous tumor in her stomach.
Yeah. Which is driving her nuts.
The agoraphobia is the only thing that's like really like making me think that schizophrenia had some valid things.
I don't know.
The zappy people are making me question whether
or not
that's true or not.
Bipolarism. She's probably bipolar. She was probably like manic bipolar.
Yeah.
And
I can see that. That makes sense.
Yeah. And a lot of
it's like she's two different people. She's schizophrenic.
Exactly. And she was like ADHD probably. Yeah, probably manic, bipolar, ADHD.
Yeah.
I bet that was her fucking.
Which is a lot of us.
Which is a lot. Every actor in L.A.
Yeah.
Manic, bipolar,
ADHD.
Every single actor in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
But you send any. Send. Okay. 90% of the actors in Los Angeles, send them to the psychiatrist and see what the psychiatrist said. They will zap their brain before they leave the office.
Yeah, they're gonna prescribe zapping.
They're going to prescribe zapping. They're going to zap you with a taser, probably.
You run around all day pretending to be someone else.
Right. You desire all the attention. You feed on everyone's attention. You pretend to be other people. You do different voices. I could go on and on. I think just being an actor, there's a thing, you know, like where people say about like a stand-up comic's jokes on paper in a courtroom would be very bad, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's the same way with like an actor going into a sanatorium.
Therapy,
this is not going to be good.
It's like,
you know,
I'm going to prescribe you a lot of zapping.
Can you imagine like fucking
Daniel Day-Lewis going
into
man.
A psych ward? Exactly. It's like, yeah, clearly he's nuts.
Like a shoe cobbler.
Yes, dude. Joaquin Phoenix. Again, I always go to this. Joaquin Phoenix is a fucking nut job.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
no
yeah.
doubt about
it's
it.
Crazy.
We're just lucky that he was able to channel it all into acting
instead
and not mass shooting. Yeah. Like
eating people.
Yeah, dude.
Like Army Hammer.
Army Hammer. Yeah. Just went ahead and did that on top of it. Those are my favorite parts, though. Some of her psychological analysts tied the onset of the illness, as well as her insomnia, to the quote-unquote butcher knife episode that happened back in 1922. The butcher knife episode is when her mom tried to fucking kill her, and that's what they called it. It was the butcher knife episode.
Shit.
That's what really caused her to go crazy.
A lot of your trauma stems from your mother trying to kill you.
Yeah, the butcher knife episode.
Julia.
Oh my god, man. The butcher knife episode is what this one is going to be called. This episode. Basically, after all this, Bo was like, all right, I'm out. And she leaves. She leaves the institute. You guys have zapped me enough. Thanks for your service. I think I had enough here. I'm gonna grab my pajamas and go.
Is she allowed to leave?
I mean, apparently so. You know, you got enough money.
If you self check yourself in.
Yeah.
Self check yourself.
But I thought her husband checked her in.
Yeah, maybe Rex was like, "Fuck it." So.
Well, I assume his political career never took off, so he's like, I guess he can get back to the house.
He did. His political career took off.
Really?
This motherfucker went into politics.
Oh, wow.
Yep. He did. He joined the House of Representatives.
Damn, that sucks.
I know.
Sucks for all of us.
Oh, yeah, sucks for everyone. He probably had old John Wayne there with him, you know,
chasing
commies.
The problem with politics is that the only people crazy enough to want to go into politics are the very people that should not go into politics.
Are the worst people.
Yeah. Yep.
They are the narcissistic, power-hungry, corrupt, shallow, morally irreprehensible.
What do they call Hollywood for ugly people?
Politics.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people.
Yeah, yeah. Very true. And it's very interesting. I mean, like we said, I mean, I think we've made some good points here today. Rex was an actor who went into politics. Clara was just a free-flowing actress, artist who went to the loony bin. Yeah. You know, it is very interesting.
Yeah.
So the true sociopaths will become successful.
Yeah.
And the artists will get zapped.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. That is what I'm picking up from this situation that happened here for sure.
Make me an artist.
Make me an artist, baby.
Zap me up.
Zap me up. Don't zap Rex. He's fine. You know.
He's fine.
Even though he's probably more cuckoo bananas in a more dangerous and scary way than I am. Yeah. You know. Claire's not hurting nobody.
Yeah.
Besides herself.
Or maybe her kids.
Maybe her kids. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Jury's out on that one.
Yeah.
But anyways, what happened?
So she gets out of the nut house. As requested by Rex, she does not return to her family. She doesn't go home. She bought a bungalow in Culver City and just fucking disappeared.
Really?
Gone. Clara Bow disappears from the public eye. No one sees this woman ever fucking again until her death.
Really?
This woman goes to Culver City, gets her bungalow, and she has a live-in doctor with her to prescribe, administer all of her meds and shit. Huge, gigantic movie star, biggest silent film actress of all time, one of them, transitioned into talkies. This whole career, this whole celebrity, gone, poof, no longer.
How long is she there for?
She is there until 1965.
What?
Yes.
Wait, so she stayed there for 30 years?
Yes, dude.
And she never left?
Never left.
Wow.
Complete agoraphobic.
How did she have enough money to last that long?
She had money, man. When she died in 1965, heart attack, 60 years old, she died. Rest in peace, Clara Bow, by the way.
Whoa.
1965 comes along, she dies of a heart attack. She died with $500,000 to her name, which, when you put that through the old inflation calculator for 1965, that's about $5 million.
Wow.
So she died rich.
Wow.
She didn't die poor.
I'm surprised she didn't burn all her money.
I know. Well,
she's spending it on.
Yeah, exactly. She's not leaving the house.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah, she's not going. We're talking about
groceries and your
exactly.
Doctor. Pills.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, well, like up till then, like I mean, I'm not talking. Like I'm surprised she had that much money going into that state of her life.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I guess she
took
wasn't
some time off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
She's making a shit ton of money. You know, I mean, she would make like $300,000 a week at one point,
type of thing. Yeah, yeah.
You know, but or $300,000 a year, that is, or whatever. You know, she had amassed a lot of money.
Yeah.
And like Dev said, she just didn't burn through it. You know, I mean, she wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
She was done.
Wow.
30 years, man.
30 years didn't leave the house.
This woman just didn't leave the house and just disappeared into obscurity.
Wild.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, like, it's kind of creepy. Like, look at her IMDb. Like, yeah,
there's got to be, I mean, maybe it was getting shocked in the head so many fucking times, but like, that agoraphobia's got, it had to have come from somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
There's a piece of this puzzle that I feel like I'm missing.
It was, I think Dev was right on the money. I mean, I think her childhood fucked her up to the point getting murdered, nearly murdered by your mom, raped by your father, and then at the like age of 17 becoming
blowing up,
and then you're in your early 20s and you're the biggest movie star on the planet.
And then the world shifts underneath you.
Yeah, and then the world shifts underneath you. Your rapist dad is living with you.
Telling you you can't get raped by other football players.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then just like,
too much.
It all is just too much for a human being, you know? Yeah. And then like, we're talking about...
It's too much for one brain.
It's too much for one brain. Not only like, you know, the talkies is one thing, but she's also living in this time of like, technology is getting crazy. The press is getting nuts. The whole industry is changing under her. Like, it's this... Everything was just changing constantly. And it was this very short-lived
period of...
Did she ever have, like, a best friend or anything? During all this time, it never seemed like she was... Okay.
She hung out with some other silent film actresses.
Because I was going to say, it's like also like maybe she also felt like there was no one around her she could trust.
There was no one around her she could trust. So she did have best friends, but she would also ultimately wind up always saying they were like a fucking liar or, again, tick, 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 cuckoo bananas. Yeah. You know, I think all of her friendships were ruined by her being fucking nuts.
Yeah.
She called the lady, the agent, you know, Maxine Alton back in the day. She'd call her a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Daisy DeVoe, who did wind up to be bad, but I don't think that could have gone well.
Yeah, maybe.
It could have.
Maybe she started stealing because Claire was
Daisy's
cuckoo bananas.
Like, I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
Like, even if I don't, I'm going to get accused of it. Might as well fucking just take it.
Absolutely. This bitch keeps accusing me of stealing shit out of her house, you know, when I live here type of shit. It would be like, you know, we've run into the crazy Hollywood people. That's pretty much all the people we've ever run into, you know?
Yeah,
and so, like, we totally get this type of person.
Paranoid motherfuckers.
Fucking paranoid ass.
Yeah.
And no telling what kind of drugs she's doing, you know? Yeah. And it was just, it was sort of, the fix was in from the beginning.
Damn,
you
that's
know?
Crazy.
I know.
Yeah, too much for one mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too much shit. And
broke her for 30 years. Like,
30 years, man.
30 years living in that house. She never, like, that's why I can't imagine that, dude. I can't imagine, like, for 30 years being so broken that you don't want to leave your house.
Yeah, man. They gave her, when she died in 1960, they gave her her star on the Walk of Fame.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like, or 1965, sorry.
Because they know.
Yeah.
They knew she wasn't going to come out for it until she died.
We don't have to arrange for her to be out here.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and put it there. But it was so interesting because, like, this is the reason I wanted to do this series. Yeah. You know, Clara Bow was this white hot fucking thing in the industry, but not a lot of people ever talk about her.
Yeah.
I mean, she did sort of not only fade into obscurity in her own living life. But you ask a lot of people these days about Clara Bow, nobody knows who you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like a lot of people don't know the silent film stars outside of, like, the huge, like, the spectacle ones. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like a lot of her projects probably aren't as fun to watch now. Like, you can still have fun with Charlie Chaplin movie because it's, like, wacky. And
that's true.
Like, there's a whole bunch of, like, there's a whole set that's falling down on him, and he stood right where the window was.
Yeah.
Like, that in itself, like, Buster Keaton ran a train off the thing. Her movies are probably a lot harder to go back to if you're not like
she's
a
being
fan.
Cute.
Yeah, if you're not a fan of silent films, it's like there's not a whole lot going on in there that you're gonna like modern audiences would like find entertaining.
Yeah,
so
for sure,
her work just gets like you know looked at less.
She was like Madonna,
mm-hmm.
like you know, yeah. I don't know, man, but
Madonna, or, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah,
kind of reminds me of that too.
But Marilyn Monroe, but Marilyn Monroe did have like. She had some fucking talent behind her.
Yeah,
Clara Bow
did
too, though.
Yeah.
But Marilyn Monroe for the different medium.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, Marilyn Monroe was like an actual good actor.
And I stick by it. I don't think it was just the medium. I think she would have been fine for the talky transition if she weren't already cuckoo bananas.
Yeah, she didn't already have a whole lot going on.
Yeah, I think it was.
The drugs didn't help.
Yeah.
The very tragic upbringing didn't help.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what was going on with her dad at the time, too. You know what I mean? This
I
is around
know.
The time where he stops. Conveniently, when she goes super crazy is when we stop having a record of him.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I'm telling you, he changed his name.
Or like.
Rex Bell.
Or maybe that. Maybe him dying might have set her off.
Maybe.
Like, maybe he died and she's just like, that like, for some reason, like, not having him there.
Yeah.
Kind of made her reflect more on, like, you know, brought up some trauma from her.
Yeah, when her mom died, she jumped into the fucking grave with her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, she did not handle that shit well.
Yeah.
And we also we do have to remember this is a Brooklyn girl who grew up very poor. You know, I mean, like, how do I put this? But, like, you know, people who are on the edge of their emotions already, you know, like very, like, highly emotional people to begin with, you know. And I think that was the thing. I think the whole thing in a nutshell is she was never quite meant to do what she did, and she did it.
Yeah.
And then it killed her in the end.
Some people don't adjust well to dramatic lifestyle changes, even if they're for the better.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
You know, people can't just like let go of not having a struggle.
Yeah. She was interred at the, if you want to go see her, she was inferred. Is it interred or inferred?
If you want to go see her, she's at Ripley's Believe
she's
It or
Ripley's,
Not.
She's at Ripley's Believe It or Not. They got her body hanging from strings like a puppet. She is in the Freedom Mausoleum at the Sanctuary of Heritage at Forest Lawn Memorial Park Cemetery in Glendale, California. And her pallbearers for her funeral were Harry Richman, Richard Arlen, Jack Oakey, Maxie Rosenbloom, Jack Dempsey, and Buddy Rogers. A bunch of huge actors for their time. It was like fucking, you know, all the heavy hitters were her pallbearers. So the industry still kept her in their minds.
Yeah.
So she never disappeared for them.
Yeah.
She was always a legend to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And they knew
yeah.
what was going on.
Yeah.
They knew, you know. Yeah. She was in her fucking house.
Yeah.
Crazy, you know. But like at one point, this girl was the reason why a lot... Margot Robbie...
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, the answer to the big question about Babylon, the movie...
Yeah.
That absolutely, Margot Robbie's character was based on
Of 1,000%. Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to spoil like parts of the movie you hadn't seen, but the rest of that movie really cemented it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is the same.
It's Clara Bow.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like Margot Robbie as an actress also like had a lot of inspiration from Clara Bow. A lot of Clara Bow, again, we talk about all these legends, James Cagney, Humphrey Bogart. We say that, you know, James Cagney, everybody was just trying to do Cagney for like 20 years. Bogey, everybody's trying to do Bogey for 20 years after Bogey. Clara Bow, people were trying to do Clara Bow for until now, you know, like this was, she absolutely, her as a flapper in the 1920s, as this badass independent chick who owns her sexuality, who fights with the boys, who's got this gruff, tumbled Brooklyn accent.
Yeah.
She was like...
Who has the voice of a 40-year-old smoker.
Yeah, Clara Bow. She was like, there would be... It would be different today if Clara Bow didn't exist.
Yeah.
Women in acting and women in general this day would be different without Clara Bow existing. You know, I think her retreating into her private life and disappearing from the entire world to me is akin to like George Washington doing the same thing. George Washington, like when all said was done, he fucking went off to a farm and fucked off and was like, too much history has happened in my body. I've got to go die now.
You know,
I'm going to go hold all of this in and I'm going to go die with it, you know? And I think that was Clara Bow and that was her legacy. Betty Boop was modeled after her.
Oh, wow.
Multiple films, including Babylon, you know, made after her. And, man, she just, she her legacy lives on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, man. What a five-parter.
What a five-parter. Yeah. I can't believe it's over.
Yeah.
We finally wrapped it up. We wrapped it up for you, Clara, because you never knew how.
Dev, final thoughts?
I love Clara.
Hell yeah.
I think she is amazing.
She's kind of like one of our new CAGs at this point, you know?
Yeah.
For sure.
She is the antithesis to CAG.
Yeah, she really is.
Yes.
CAG was very, like, straight up and down, like,
she
square
was
guy.
Polar opposite.
Yeah. And she was the fucking, like, she fucked and drank and smoked and had copious amounts of party.
I have issue with the career side of her life. Even down to, like, the fact that she didn't even want to memorize her blocking. So they had to get more cameras.
I hear you.
And it's like...
I hear you.
No, but no.
Is it like she didn't want to or she couldn't memorize it?
But it's like, it just even goes back to just like her going up to that other actress and like demanding that she had a role. It's just it's just the audacity. And I think it was like she was so successful from such a young age and she like early on realized that she could get whatever she wanted that she like... There was a certain lack of respect for the art form and the medium that she had, like, or even like her fellow crew members or the studio or like anything about the process to, again, being like, I'm not going to learn my blocking. You're going to get me more cameras. It's like, fuck you. Like, I have like very little respect for her as far as like a lot of the professional stuff that went on where I think like.
It's like every influencer ever.
Yeah, I was about to say, remember she was 21.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, again, there's other people out here who are like willing to put the work in, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Or like had to put the work in.
Yeah.
You know, and I think she just kind of got by a lot on like. Pretty privileged in to a degree. Not to say that she wasn't talented whatsoever.
She put the work in, but she put the work in upstairs in the office.
Right, yeah. According,
or she put the work in down on set.
Or at the Garden of Allah.
Yeah.
You know?
But, and I don't want to say that, like, you know, she wasn't talented at all or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. I don't want to discredit the things she did do, but I do think that, like, I don't know. It doesn't surprise me that she didn't have a long career.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, and I think if it wasn't the talkies, she would have gotten to the point where she's not the it girl anymore.
Yeah.
And the only way she's going to stay relevant is if she actually puts the work in, and she's not going to. And there's going to be a new actor who's like hungrier and wants it more.
Yeah. And I'll double down on what you're saying by saying I am glad that we did not see a 50-year-old Clara Bow rolling herself into some scene in a fucking wheelchair and some movie later on.
Yeah.
Trying to like rehash some acting career.
She got out while the getting was good.
She got out while the getting was good. We always say we did not want to see Jim Morrison fat and in his 50s on stage. Like,
yeah, Jim Morrison got out while the getting was good.
Some people, she didn't die while the getting was good. She kept out, but she did not come back.
Yeah.
And some people
don't need to come back.
Don't need to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. You don't have to die. She didn't have to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she went away.
Yeah.
And it was probably for the best.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm.
Well,
at least she didn't fuck any kids.
Yeah. That we know of.
And that's been a first here on film history.
How old was the youngest celebrity
from that era?
Yeah. She didn't beat any women. She didn't fuck any kids. Yeah. Well, that was Clara Bow, y'all.
What happened to her? They shocked the fucking sanity out of her.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Rex Bell, her husband, goes on to be a psychopath politician.
With those pages over at
Hollywood. Yeah, he was definitely fucking kids.
Well, if you would like to... How do I segue that one?
Shit, I know, man. Hey, I do want to say thank y'all for listening. Thank you so much. Five parts, I know, is a lot. I really hope you're all enjoying this. Clara Bow was an interesting trek. This was an interesting ride. It had its ups and downs. It was a fucking roller coaster.
I think it's great for the first woman to be featured. Absolutely. Such a long story, up and down story, a hearty story full of substance, full of like comedy and tragedy and happiness and sadness and success and sanity and insanity. And like, you get the whole spectrum.
The whole spectrum.
Like, this story, this arc is such a good stable point for Hollywood.
Yes.
Like, it has every aspect of the business in it. Like, what it's like behind the scenes, the whole changing of a medium. You were the it girl, now you're not. Like, you bring like microphones into it, now it changes things. And like,
and it was so fast, it moved so fast.
The huge acceleration to celebrity, the dealing with the studios, the dealing with contracts, the crazy party burnout lifestyle, and then on the back nine, the retreat to away from Hollywood, to like dealing with all the repercussions of that, even like getting into it. Like, you gotta be that fucked up as a person to even want to be a fucking actor to begin
with. Yes.
So, like, you know, I think that all of those things are touched on. And if you want to listen to one story so far that sums up Hollywood,
Clara Bow.
It's impressive to me, too, that we did five parters on her, but her story ended in her 30s. You know what I mean? The last five parter we did was Brando, and that spanned 100 years.
Brando was like, this was easier for me to do than Brando because it was so short. Brando was like, fuck, I got to go through the fucking, all the way through the 90s with this bastard. You know? Like, I don't know. We went nuts. And then there was 30 years later. You know?
It was a lot of hot dogs.
A lot of hot dogs.
Too many.
With Clara Bow, you remember the first two parts were like in one fucking year. Yeah. Like, this girl went from, like, nothing to movie star in 12 months, you know?
Crazy.
It's fucking nuts, man.
Well, if you'd like to help me go from nothing to movie star in 12 months, you can follow me on Instagram at Drake Cummings, on Twitter at Drake_Cummings, YouTube at Drake Cummings. Just anywhere Drake Cummings, type into your web browser. But on TikTok, Hollywood Drake, Drake L. Cummings, and just Drake around, three distinctly different niches. Been doing a lot of stuff on TikTok Live, so come and hang out with me at Hollywood Drake on TikTok Live.
Love it.
I'm playing video games and other stuff.
Love it.
You can find me at Sailor_Dev on Insta and AbracadabraDev on Twitter.
Damn right. You can find me at Jimmy DeLoy or James White Scott, depending on where you're looking for me. Just Google me, you bastards. You can find us at Film History, The History of Film, or FHHF Podcast. You can also find me on that other show that I'm doing with Shelby Scott from Scary to Sleep called Historic Hangouts, where we talk about historic hangouts.
Nice.
You can also...
What's an example of a hangout?
An example of a hangout, we did the Rainbow Bar and Grill.
Oh, really?
Yes, man. Ooh. Yes, indeed. Used to be not called the Rainbow Bar and Grill back in the day, and it was a hangout.
The Garden of Allah?
No, man. I'm going to do that at some point here. I am going to do the Garden of Allah at some point. That place was crazy. Yeah, we did the Wabasha Street Caves. I did the Green Dragon Tavern, where all the revolutionary people hung out.
Nice.
We've been going, man. We did Musso and Frank, you know.
Damn.
Yeah, just go listen to Historic Hangouts. And to Shelby Scott from Scary to Sleep, who's very famous with the Bloody Disgusting Network.
Hell
so
yeah.
If you don't want to hear my dumb ass, at least go hear her sultry, scary tones, you know.
Nice.
You can also find me checking into a fucking sanatorium after this final episode and getting electroshock. Because this has been Film History.
The History of Film.
You know what I'm talking about!